This is Lynn Woods, and I am having a conversation today with Greg and Philip of the group Switch. And Switch was founded in the 1970s by Greg Williams, and is a gold and platinum selling R&B group that has been rebooted and is out there doing their thing today. So hello guys, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
I am just great. Greg, you founded the group Switch, so back in the late 1970s.
76? Correct.
All right. Yeah. What made you want to found or put together an R&B group at that time?
Oh, God. I've been an entertainer all my life, since age 5. Christmas plays and school projects. And I picked up a trumpet at about 7 or 8 years old, and I was playing in bands. And so I've always been singing and performing and acting and stuff like that. And I'd gone through quite a few groups over the years, over my early teenage years and stuff like that. Well, Switch was preceded by a group, well, let me not say preceded, but anyway, just prior to Switch, I was in a group called White Heat. We were signed to Barry White. Actually, Jody Sims, Bobby DeBarge, and later Tommy DeBarge were members. We were signed to Barry White, and we were on RCA Records. Once that group fell apart, I realized it was time for me to fulfill a lifelong dream to start my own band. And I said, well, what kind of band you want to do? And then as I'm talking to myself like I'm nuts, I'm saying I want a group of attractive men who all play and sing, who play more than one instrument, and most importantly, sing their hearts out and have like minds, like temperaments. And so I handpicked everybody and actually got the money to do a demo, put the group together. We recorded the demo, went to L.A., Jody and I, and met Jermaine and Hazel and made this thing happen.
So, okay, tell me, Philip, I'm going to ask you now, what do you think was so unique about Switch that resonated with so many folks and still does today?
The biggest thing was our vocals. You know, when people hear us sing, as a matter of fact, when Suzanne DePass, when she saw us, and not only did we, you know, play multiple instruments, but she just said she had never seen so much switching. So, like, for instance, when we did our showcase, Bobby would be out front, I'd be on the keyboard, Greg and Eddie was on, you know, trumpet and trombone. Then I'd go out and sing, then Bobby would come on keyboards, and then if Bobby and I went out to do a duet, well, Greg and Eddie play keyboards. So it's like, she literally said she had never seen so much switching. So the uniqueness of, usually in a band, you'll have a person or maybe two that play multiple instruments. That's not unique. But to see a whole band that plays multiple instruments and sing like a singing group and do harmonies like we did, we were literally just set apart because a lot of bands, you know, back then, they had harmonies, but not like the singing group would have harmonies. You know, we're doing four-part harmonies, which is unheard of for most bands. So, matter of fact, even groups like Take Six and them today, they're fans of us. Yeah, I've worked with a lot of those guys, and especially Alvin, the bass singer. Him and I worked together. He said, man, we're all fans of Switch because of those harmonies and stuff. So I think that's what really set us apart.
Oh, wow. Speaking of Take Six, I actually worked with them once upon a time when I was working in artist relations at Warner Brothers Records, and I do know those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great guys.
Mervyn Warren and I, we've worked together a lot, and Alvin, the bass singer, we've done a lot of stuff together. But both of them were Switch fans. So that was, you know, it's nice to see when you have colleagues that you work with that appreciated your music, but again, they on the vocals. But, you know, we were a band. Some magazines actually still put us down as a singing group, which I take as a compliment.
Wow, okay. I grew up listening to Switch, so I was like a teenager when you guys came out and just loved your music and still do. But anyway, let me move on, okay? Now,
okay. Huh? Hey, I was a teenager when we got signed, so we must be around the same age.
Yeah, but I ain't telling, so.
I know you would.
Now, I did preview the show, and the same things that make groups fall apart is usually like drugs, sex, or money, or a combination of all three. Some of those cause switch to fall apart as well. But what was the biggest culprit of everything that made the group fall apart?
Okay, let me clarify something too. I agree. Some that you said those are the things that
usually
switch falling apart.
No, those, I said usually.
The things that you're referring to are residuals. Because from my personal group point of view, as the founder of the group, it was weak links in the group. Based on Bobby and Tommy DeBarge's upbringing, you know, and their need to for security and self-assurance, it led to some things that, you know, some bad things. Not that I'm putting all of that on Bobby and Tommy. I'm saying that was the start of it. That ignited it because the rest of us, all we wanted to do was make good music and hang and be with each other. And initially, that's how it started out. But as money started coming in, other people putting words and thoughts in people's heads, then, of course, that the door is open for what's next. And with some of us, including myself, drugs came next. You know, with some of us, and I say for the most part, Bobby, the ego came in. Again, that was due to a deficit that he dealt with after what he went through with his dad, at his dad's hands. So I said all that, all of those things, you know, took place. But my brother was damaged from the very beginning. In fact, I'll tell you, so much so that when I first put the group together, Bobby was not a part of it. And he was not a part of it because of all his troubles in his life. And the way he got back in the group, and we had gone out to, we did a demo. Jody and I flew out to L.A., ran into Jermaine and Hazel, and basically got the deal. But when I called all the guys to tell them to get ready and come out to L.A., the lead vocalist that I had in place, Arnie Hayes, who was an incredible vocalist and keyboard player, he refused to come. Now, here we got a deal, and he refused to come, and what the hell am I going to do now? And then Bobby came up, and we talked to Bobby, and Bobby said he was on heroin at the time, too. I mean, a part of his problems. And he said, man, I'll clean up. I really need to get out of here. So we trusted him to do that, and he did that. You know, and as things were fine for a couple of years, but as things progressed, all the ugliness came back, and all of us had to react to it in whatever ways we could to get through it. So that's pretty much where that was.
But you all did navigate through it to come up with some great hit songs. So what was the best thing you gained, either one of you, from the switch experience overall?
So, that's a good question. The relationships we have is probably one of the strongest things, but it's nice to be able to, that was 77 when They'll Never Be came out, no, 78 when They'll Never Be came out, so it's almost 40 years ago, and to have people decades later still liking, listening to, like a lot of these rappers, they use it and stuff. What's nice to see is after all these years, what should we say, Greg?
I said remakes and samples.
Yeah, samples, that's what I was looking for. So I think what's nice is to know that we did make a mark. You know, we're still doing stuff in the industry. And, you know, I'm going to use Greg's line again, you know, from most people have 15 minutes of fame and we had a whole day. I love that line. So the friendships, first of all, because, I met Greg when I was 16. I'm 59. Yeah, man, I know Lan Jane will tell me your age, but Jane's far behind. Anyway, other than that...
He got that right. Okay.
The friendships, the relationships, and the fact that our music has really stood the test of time, I think that's one of the things that I've appreciated, and I'm very happy to have been and still are, or still am a part of that.
Okay, and if you don't mind, I'll try to make this quick, because I know you asked either one of us, but I've got to chime in on that. And tell you what I got out of it most, sweetheart, is a life's dream fulfilled. I knew from 6 years old what I wanted to do. I claimed it. I pulled it together. I molded it, not by myself, but just the same. achieved it, and not only will it live until I die, it will live beyond that. And I think that's all that any man, any human being can ask for. And then I got a little icing on the cake. I was given brothers that I can spend my life with, that I could travel a long journey with. I mean, look, me, Philip, and Eddie, you know, we hanging tough now. There's still a couple of the other brothers, you know, from the group and with the new group. But I've been with these guys almost 40 years, and I wouldn't trade places with nobody right now for either of them. So there's been so much that I have been given just because I dared dream it and went for it. So that's what I got out of it.
All right, guys, I think that's about it for me. Now, unless you want to tell me about what you got coming up for your group now. It's been rebooted, so if you have anything you want to share about that or where we can find you on social media.
Yeah, Philip, I'm going to plug it, but also get it off your chest, too. The thing of it is this, as I've been saying at the end of each interview, Unsung did an exceptional job of depicting our life, music in Motown, but there's not a hell of a lot you can put in 42 minutes. Thank God the timing is good, because as of August 1st, I am releasing my book, Switch, DeBarge, Motown, and Me, and it tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. So that's part of my personal future, but what it also is there's a website that's going up. In fact, it's actually up. It's just we got to fill the content in on Switch. It's going to have our history, photos, bios, fan information, memorabilia, and anything else, any other content that I can get in there. So we want the audiences to tune in. The URL is www.switchentertainmentworld.com. So go there. Again, check in on our history. Get the untold story. And buy the book, Switch, DeBarge, Motown, and Me, because it's all being sold online with other stuff. And that's where it's going for me.
Okay, and I assume that... Oh, Philip, did you have anything else to add?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've stayed really busy in the music industry. It's definitely been a blessing from 80s and 90s. See, a lot of people don't read credits. Mm-hmm. I've done a bunch of guest vocals on a lot of people's albums. I've actually had enough guest vocals to have about 3 solo albums of my own. But I've also sang background on some of the biggest hit records, you know, out there. Just to give you an example, you know, Celine Dion's I'm Everything I Am Because You Love Me. I'm singing background on that. I'm singing background on Everybody Have Fun Tonight by Wang Chung. So I did a lot of that. Then I worked on a bunch of films on camera. I was on I'm the wedding singer at my best friend's wedding. I even did an episode of Quantum Leap where I was a singer at a club. So I got to do music. I mean, I got to do movies, television, songwriting for other artists, producing, commercials, radio station IDs. So it's been great. And I still do quite a bit working with, I do live performances also with Sheena Easton. I do the duets with her, with Switch, and other artists. So it's been a lot. But all this really because of, you know, it all started with Switch. So that's the foundation. And from there, so many other things have branched out from it.
Okay, wow. So I'm just happy to know that you all have continued and kept busy and continue working on your craft and keep stirring up the gifts that God's given you.
There you go.
All right. Then, thank you so much, Greg and Philip. I appreciate you taking the time to do this quick little interview so we can get some stuff, additional stuff out there about you guys. And God bless you and everything that you have to do and put forth.
Thank you.